you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and Amy's TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Alrighty, it's that time again for another Turtle Treasure episode. It's also Easter Sunday. I'm going to hope that I can actually get this out tonight. I was doing stuff with family earlier, and then I'm going to be doing stuff with family on Tuesday. That's sort of our Easter. So I've taken this weekend to sort of finish up editing reviews and getting things ready. So there's going to be a fair bit, because I was sick the last 2 weeks. I was watching a lot of the movies that I received. So what I have here is fair amount of movies and stuff from Mill Creek, stuff from Arrow, stuff from MVD, stuff from VVS Films, and I believe I even have a book or two in here. It all depends on what I'm actually able to edit before I get it in here. So what's been up with me? What's been up with the show? We've tried to gather together to record some stuff in person. It makes it a little easier to do things remotely because with holidays and everything, it's difficult to get everybody together. So I believe in the next day or so, we're doing our regular Twig show, and we are going to then, you know, we're going to try doing more and more with Cambridge Chronicles remotely or on the go, so we can do little spits and spurts to get that ready for the summer when we're going to be releasing everything. And in the meantime, you know, I've gone through basically 10, 12, 15, 16, 20 movies that I've had to review. Some of them are going to be bundled together because they're part of larger sets. As well as far as gaming goes, I've been through, the biggest one I went through was a long play that I had to do of the Trails of Cold Steel Legend of Heroes game remastered on the PS4. So that review, I believe, is going to be in this week's Twig show, with the rest of the movie reviews and everything else being on this Turtle Treasure today. So that's pretty much been it. I did take advantage of that Spotify deal that came out. I had subscribed to Spotify years ago for maybe like 1 month, and then didn't need it because I had Google Music for it. And then they had the deal where you subscribe for $10 a month. I read the thing, no commitments, no nothing else. It has to be the full $10 a month. The $15 plan, that's a family plan that people said, why don't I get this deal? They don't get the deal because you're getting five accounts for the price of 15 instead of one account for $10. So what do you get? Well, you got a Google Home Mini, which retails for like $70. So I'm still waiting on mine to come in the mail, but I'm liking the service so far. The quality of the streaming is better, to be honest, than Google or Apple is, especially if you select the high-quality version of the files in your settings and then select to download to device. It downloads basically at the same quality I would rip a CD at. So I'm pretty happy with that. And there's a lot of stuff on there that I can find. Some stuff I haven't been able to find. Some stuff from the 90s, some dance stuff or pop music. So there's some weird tracks that they won't have. But for the most part, it's found about 90% of everything I want. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, as soon as I get the Google Home Mini, I'm not somebody who wants a connected device. I'm not somebody usually who's like, I don't want it to always be listening. I really don't. But for me, I was thinking to use it in my bedroom as an alarm clock, because I don't like having an alarm clock that beeps. I always have my my normal, like I have a Sony alarm clock that has radio. So I always like having the radio come on. But you know what? I wouldn't mind if it was a little louder, or I can control it by voice and be like, you know, wake up and go, hey, Google, you know, be quiet or turn off alarm or whatever. And that's something, you know, now that I don't have to pay for that, when it comes, that'll be cool because I can get it to stream. I can have it set the alarm to play a particular song to wake me up every time. Something cool like that. So that's something I'll be checking out as soon as it arrives. And then that's pretty much been that. I've been going through some gaming stuff that I'll talk about at the end of the show that I'll be reviewing. And then I've been, what have I been doing other than that? I've been digitizing old home videos on VHS and Video 8 and Hi8 tapes for my brother's wedding, which is coming up on the, I think it's the 10th or the 11th. Whatever the Saturday in May is, I think it's the 10th, 11th. I'll be there, basically, as the best man. So I've been having to, part of their gift is I'm putting together home videos on a Blu-ray along with whatever photos and whatever wedding videos get taken. So they have a section for his wife's old home videos and one of him, just sort of clips of that. So in doing that, I backed up a bunch of stuff. And it also included a bunch of weird commercials that we had taped on TV for like old Simpsons episodes and stuff when I went through our old tapes. So I've been digitizing all that, which, you know, takes up 70, 80, 100 gigs when you're digitizing the video at full quality. And then I'm going through cutting out what needs to be cut out, trying to repair audio, what needs to be repaired, and then compressing it down to a format that's more usable. So that's sort of been taking up my free time there other than when I was sick. So I was going to say, without further ado, we're going to get into the show. It's going to be like the last few times where it's sort of rapid fire. Here's all the different reviews. And for the most part, they've all been pretty good movies, pretty good things to check out. So I'll come back at the end and sort of talk about what's up next.
Basically, he was a geek,
sir. Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
Mill Creek has sent over a set of releases that are pretty interesting and diverse. We've got Cold War Thrillers, which is a six-film collection. They split the six films over two DVDs, and they are all sort of thriller spy genre films from the Cold War, so a lot of them are from the 60s. And the other set that they sent over is Soul Team 6, which is a blaxploitation set also containing six films, and they spread them over two discs as well. Both sets include a digital code that you can unlock on their website, so you can have digital streaming versions of each film, which are pretty useful. Their website, to be honest, could use some work, and sometimes when you put the code in, it doesn't tell you that it's already accepted it until you log out and re-log back in, and you'll find that it's part of your library. So don't worry if the code doesn't work immediately. It probably has worked and just hasn't actually shown you that it's worked. So that's something that I think they'll fix in the future. But now on to the actual individual films. I had done sort of a binge watch when I wasn't feeling so well the past couple weeks. Now that my voice is finally better, I can talk about them. There is Man on a String, which is a film from 1960. It's black and white and looks fantastic. Considering that they're putting three movies per disc, you're only getting about 2 gigs of data, and the film nerd in me is like, oh God, they're going to lower the quality. Surprisingly not. They have done, you know, careful encoding on this to make sure that detail is preserved, and for, you know, something that's standard definition, they look pretty good on my 4K TV watching it direct from the disc. My player has a deinterlacer built in and an upscaler, and it looks, you know, as good as I would figure a progressive scan 480p would look if it was encoded well at a higher bit rate. So that being said, you know, you're getting a lot of value out of these because they're retailing anywhere 10, 15 bucks or so when they're on sale. You know, their movies can be, you know, ranging in price, so it's sometimes hard to tell exactly the price, but they are priced to go at a good rate. They're not like super low quality, especially the Cold War films. So we've got Man on a String, like I said, The Deadly Affair, which is a 1966 film, Otley, which is a 1968, A Dandy and Aspic, 1968, Hammerhead, 1968, and The Executioner, 1970. Some of them are rated R, some of them are unrated, some of them are PG. You know, they all generally have Cold War plots. You know, they're all, hence the title, they're all sort of spy films or action films. I would say the ones that I enjoyed the most out of this were probably The Executioner, as well as Man on a String, and Deadly Affair is pretty good too. They're all worth watching, and they're all dirt cheap, so they're probably worth picking up for anybody that, you know, is a spy fan or just a fan of these films. These aren't films that I've seen in any other sets, and they're all from, I believe, Columbia Pictures. Yeah, they are. So these are all been preserved quite well. They're not like a lot of these other Cold War sets you pick up at like a Walmart bargain bin where they were public domain or they're TV movies or they're just, you know, low quality or anything. These are all preserved in good quality. So they're worth picking up just to the fact that you get six Columbia Pictures for the price that they're at. Now for Soul Team 6, These are decidedly at a lower quality, only because they're blaxploitation films and they weren't as well preserved. They also weren't as well shot. Like, this was a time when black cinema wasn't a big thing outside of their own communities. So just getting any of these at all at any quality is pretty good. Now, some of them, like I said, are better than others. There's the Black Six, which is from 1973. You got the Black Gestapo, which is 1975. The Black Brigade, which is 1970. Black Fist, 1974. The Black Godfather, 1974, as well as Fighting Mad from 1978. Out of these films, they're pretty much all rated R, and then there's one that's unrated, but it's pretty much rated R. I would say the most most interesting ones to watch would probably be Black Fist. It has Philip Michael Thomas and Dabney Coleman in it. There's also Black Brigade's pretty good, and that one has Richard Pryor and Billy Dee Williams, so they're worth watching. If you're into blaxploitation films, you know what you're in for these. And it's a good way to get all of them in a set. I would have liked if they had put them all on Blu-ray, same with the Cold War set, but whatever they sourced, they have DVD standard def versions right now. Hopefully these sell enough that in the future we'll get a disc that has them on Blu-ray that's a little more cleaned up and remastered. That being said, they are better looking than the VHS counterparts I've seen of some of them in the past, so they're worth picking up. Again, when you can get both of them, depending if they're on sale for $20-$25 or so, it's definitely worth it there. So that's basically what I was doing while I was sick, was I was watching film after film after film after film and loving every minute of it. So that is the two sets from Mill Creek, Soul Team 6 and Cold War 6 Film Collection. Welgo USA has sent over their newest film, Golden Job, The Ultimate Challenge, which is Asian kung fu action thriller sort of hybrid mix. I'll give you a bit of a background on it. So it's about a group of former mercenaries that reunite to plan a big heist. Think a little bit of like Fast and the Furious style with a lot of the kung fu-y sort of stuff that you would have seen in a lot of the 90s Jackie Chan movies. A little more serious, really good cinematography. It's the one thing about this film that might turn some people off from picking it up is that it is only in Cantonese. Now, there are, of course, English subtitles on the disc, but if you're somebody who's used to only watching things in dub form, you might be like, you might not be too okay with this. That being said, nothing in it is too difficult to follow, and it's not like there's a million things on screen at once that you're not going to be able to read. You're watching it mostly for the action and just sort of the on-screen mayhem that happens. It's got a bunch of special features on it as well. You got a behind the scenes featurette. Yeah, there's also action and location featurette, basically showing off, you know, how they picked the locations and then you know, how they did the stunt scenes and everything together, which is pretty cool in itself. There's also a feature on like the team that makes it, like as far as the stunt team. And there's an animated poster, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of something I've not really seen before on a disc. Now, there's also music videos for it, for some of the songs that are performed in the film. And then, of course, trailers for other releases from Welgo. Now, is it worth, you know, buying, or is this worth watching? I would say if you're a big, like, Hong Kong Chinese action film fan, it's worth picking up because it's not that expensive. You're in, depending if it's on sale, in the $20 range or so for the Blu-ray. Now, if you're somebody who just wants to give it a go, it's something you might want to watch a trailer of first on YouTube, and it's definitely worth a rental. Like, it's worth paying, you know, a couple bucks to watch it digitally, in that it was pretty entertaining. Now, is it starring anybody that I would say I've known before? No, these are people I might follow later on. It's Jordan Chan, Chin Ha Lok, Michael Tse, Jerry Lam, and a few other people, but nobody that I knew. I remember watching a lot of 90s ones, you know, when you had Jackie Chan or you had Chow Yun-fat and a bunch of other people. So this is sort of like a new generation of Asian action stars, and it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with next. So that is Golden Job, The Ultimate Challenge from Welgo USA. Check it out, at least to rent, and if you like it, it's worth picking up because it's fairly cheap.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
Hey,
Mill Creek sent over a double feature on a single Blu-ray disc of The Take and Black Gun, two blaxploitation films from the height of the 70s. And I was really happy with this because I had already received copies of Soul Team 6 to review, which were six standard def DVD movies that had seen better times. Some of them, the prints were a little rough. Some of them looked better than others. And I was really hoping to see some more blaxploitation films on Blu-ray. And that's what we get here. So they both come on a single disc. The Take has Billy Dee Williams in it. And Black Gun stars Jim Brown. And a bunch of other actors. There's Martin Landau in there. Now, The Take is rated PG and Black Gun is rated R. So, you know, there's sort of a mix there. Be careful, depending on if you're going to watch it with kids. The R-rated one is obviously going to be more, you know, not for them. They're both from Columbia Pictures, so that means there is hope for, you know, hopefully more of these types of films coming out, since Mill Creek has the Columbia Pictures license for a lot of their back catalog to release. Now, you don't get any special features, really, with them, because they're priced, you know, at a bargain price. Now, out of the two films, I probably liked The Take more. It had more detail in the actual film of it, so there's more film grain, but also more detail. So I'm also partial to Billy Dee. You know, good timing with this coming out right around the time that we see him in the trailer for the new Star Wars movie. So as far as audio is concerned, they're both in stereo, and that doesn't mean, you know, that it's not a lot of stereo separation, because they're not really a lot of movies that were in stereo at that time period. So there's a little bit of stereo separation involved, but it is clear and clean. You can hear all the voices in both. They're both in that aspect of 1.85, so standard movie aspect ratio. It's going to run you about $20 Canadian, probably about $12 to $15 American. It's well worth it for both features. Now, I'll give you a bit of a rundown of each one, the premise of them. So Billy Dee Williams is in The Take is a well-known cop brought in by the police chief to quell some crime wave that have crippled Paloma, New Mexico. Basically, there's some, you know, obviously The Take, it's about corruption. So it's a pretty standard 70s cop movie from 1974. Black Gun's from 72. It's about a group of revolutionaries rob a mafia-run gambling operation. Jim Brown tries to protect his politically radical brother. And, you know, all the sort of crazy hijinks that happens in blaxploitation films happen. Both films run a little over 90 minutes, and you're getting a pretty good bargain considering you're only paying for a Blu-ray where they're both remastered about $20, and they are remastered. Like, these are much cleaner than any other print I would have seen in the past. So, you know, keep an eye out for the, you know, they advertise it as a knockdown, drag-out double feature that takes no prisoners. So, The Take and Black Gun from Mill Creek. Are you a slasher fan, like pretty much everybody at This Week in Geek? Well, you might have overlooked this film called Colobos that came out in the late 90s and has got a new release from Arrow Films. Now, what is Colobos? It's a bit of a mixture of The Real World meets Saw and a bit of Suspiria, and it's pretty gory. It's sort of an amalgamation of everything. Basically, a group of youngsters arrive at a snow-covered house under the guise of participating in a groundbreaking new experimental film. And then from there, the slashery craziness happens, and I won't go into it because you're going to have to watch it. Now, this is, again, one of the Arrow Pictures films that has a more premium price tag. You're looking at about $30 Canadian or so, depending if it's on sale or not. Again, keep an eye out on that. It's not something I've ever heard of before, ever seen released before. I know it would have had releases on home video before this, but it was so under the radar that, you know, it passed by me. Coming out in 99 would have been the right age. I would have been like 13, 14 when it came out to have watched it, but it just sort of skimmed by. Now, it's something I wish I had seen at the time. It's something that I think probably got lost in the shuffle of Scream and all these types of movies. Now, what do you get with this? You get a brand new transfer. It's a 2K transfer, so 1080p it was scanned in at. You've got the original stereo, and it's got 5.1 audio options. The 5.1 was created for this release, and it's really dynamic. Sounds good. Audio commentary with the co-writers and co-directors. You also have Real World Massacre, The Making of Colobos. It's a brand new feature where they show the making of the film, which is pretty cool because they've been doing that a lot with their films. They're making brand new making of features for their releases. So there's also new interview with a faceless actor, which you'll have to see the film to find out where that comes from. Slice and Dice, the music of Kolobos, brand new interview with the composer. There's behind the scenes image gallery, Super 8 short film shot by one of the producers with a commentary on that and the original trailer. And then there's also a fully illustrated booklet explaining stuff on the film that comes with the first pressing of it. So if it's sold out and then they repress it again later on, you won't get that. But you do get a reversible cover, and it's pretty cool. There's a new art and an original artwork that you can flip around. The original artwork's kind of neat, where it's just basically a camera pointed down at a house. And then the new artwork is looks like a television with somebody ripping, you know, covered in blood, trying to rip their way out of the TV, which is pretty cool. So is it worth checking out? Check out a trailer for it first. And I don't even know if you can even watch this any other way. Like, I don't even know if you can rent this film. This might be one that you just have to buy. So if you're a big slasher fan or a big horror film fan and you want to fill out your collection, this is going to be one to check out. So it's Kolobos from Arrow. On one of our earlier shows, I had the opportunity to review MVD's release of Nemesis. Well, now they're back, and they sent me a copy of Nemesis 2, 3, and 4, which is a triple feature on their MVD Rewind series, which is the series that has the slipcovers, and then, you know, they've gone through and remastered everything. Think of it as sort of a boutique company putting out, like, Criterion-level quality of releases. So you get Nemesis 2, Nebula. Now, these films are under multiple different names depending on the country and time they were released. So here's the titles they have, you know, with MVD. You got Nemesis 2, Nebula, Nemesis 3, Time Lapse, and Nemesis 4, Death Angel. So each of them, you know, sequels to the first. As far as plotline goes, the third film uses a lot of footage shot from the second film with new footage spliced in. So it's sort of, I believe a lot of the production was done at the same time. So I'll give you the premise of each one. So with Nemesis 2, you've got 73 years after the events of Nemesis, humans have lost the cyborg wars. Uh-oh, spoiler alert. And they are now slaves to cyborg masters. And basically it's about rebels trying to stop it. The third film finds out that there's a time travel aspect to it. And, you know, you have to watch the second film to get that, to understand what's happening there. And then the fourth film came out a few years later. And, you know, it's just following a ceasefire between the humans and the cyborgs, blah, 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 going on and on. I don't want to spoil anything there. So, visually, they're just as good as the first release in that they've gone and remastered everything. They're in the proper aspect ratios for all three films. Been remastered for 1080p, all that, yada, yada. Now, what you have for audio, you have uncompressed stereo. So they didn't bother. They figured, okay, we're only in stereo. There's no need to do DTS or pay licensing for that. So it's PCM audio. Meaning it's going to be uncompressed and the full quality that they scanned it in at in stereo. And it sounds fantastic. These films don't need any other dynamic thing as far as the audio spacing. The staging sounds fine. It sounds clear and clean. You can hear all the vocals. Perfect. Great. Now, the aspect ratios, Nemesis 2 and 3 are done at 1.78 to 1. So that's going to fill your entire HDTV screen. And Nemesis 4 is 2.2 to 1, which is sort of an odd aspect ratio. Usually it's 2.35 or 2.4. Now, 2.2 is the format you see a lot now for shows on Netflix or when a TV show wants to have a more widescreen aspect without going full widescreen. So something like, I'm trying to think of something that's more recent that uses that aspect ratio. Stuff like, not Game of Thrones, I believe that Westworld uses it. A lot of shows on the Sci-Fi Network like Happy and Deadly Class, a lot of shows like that, or like Stranger Things, they'll use that aspect. So you'll know what I'm talking about. It's not quite super duper wide, but it's a little. It has little bars at the top and bottom on your widescreen TV. So it also includes the director, Albert Pyan. He talks on Nemesis 2, 3, and 4, original theatrical trailers, and a collectible mini poster. So this is going to retail for about $20 American, so $25-$30 Canadian. So it's a little less money than the rest of their releases have been, but that's because they didn't produce like major extended behind-the-scenes featurettes for this. So it's not bare bones in that it does have you know, individual talks on each film, as well as theatrical trailers and a poster. It just doesn't have like a big, you know, hullabaloo of extra stuff. So that being said, that's a good deal at about 20-ish, depending if it's on sale, dollars for all three films remastered and in widescreen and on Blu-ray with proper audio. If you're a big sci-fi nerd like I am, this is going to be a no-brainer. It's going to be worth picking up. I'm not even going to say renting it. This is a pickup. This is a buy, especially if you pick up the first film, so then you got 2, 3, and 4, and you're ready for a fun weekend. Invite friends over, make some popcorn, and watch the cyborgs and humans clash.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Today I have Showdown from MVD's Rewind Collection, which is their Blu-ray series where they take a film that was maybe a cult picture, nothing that was super duper famous, and they, you know, painstakingly digitally remaster it, put it in a premium box, and slap it out to retail. This is actually number 15 in the line. They do number them on the side of the spine so that you can collect everything and put them together. Now, what is Showdown? Showdown is a kung fu action movie starring Billy Blanks, who you might know from Taibo. Actually, you probably know from Taibo, and then a few other pictures that he did. It also stars Ken Scott, Christine Taylor, and Ken McLeod. Now, without going into details of the actual plot and everything that happens, you sort of know the deal. This is the sort of movie that was popularized by like a Van Damme and a Chuck Norris in the 80s. This is from, I believe, the early 90s, like 94. Yep, I was correct on that. Now, basically, you know what you're getting when it comes to kung fu movies. It's the over-the-top, ridiculous action, you know, like in Van Damme's The Quest, that sort of thing. Now, what you're really wanting to know here is it worth watching, and is it worth watching on Blu-ray and paying the money for it? And I would say if you're a action flick fan or a kung fu movie fan, it's definitely worth it. It's going to run you about $30 or so for the Blu-ray, and you might ask, and I've seen people ask that on Facebook, you know, why is it so much money comparatively to some new releases that are $10 cheaper? Well, the difference here is they're having to source the best quality source for it, like the original film negative, and then they remaster it painstakingly, you know, touch it up, sort of like you do with a Criterion collection, but this is for more for cult films. So you get something that's been restored, you know, from the original film negative, and then put on Blu-ray, and which is going to sell, and probably, you know, this isn't going to be like the Avengers selling millions upon millions of copies. This is going to be for the hardcore action fans out there who want the best quality possible, because previously you basically were stuck with either full screen, you know, VHS, or maybe some sort of muddy looking DVD conversion. Well, this is absolutely pristine, as all the previous releases like Double Dragon have been. So, you know, what do you get special features wise? Well, you get the film, you know, restored in 1080p. You know, it looks fantastic. Audio is a 5.1 surround track. It's not one of those, you know, lossless audio tracks. So it's a 5.1, but it's DVD quality audio, which doesn't matter for a film of this budget and the style. You also get a stereo copy of it as well, so you can have either stereo or surround depending on your speaker setup. There's subtitles. There's a making of. Now, the interesting thing with the making of, it has a lot of the stars like Billy Blanks, and it has the directors. Interestingly, the actual movie is the same length as the making of. So they are in depth. We're talking almost 100 minutes of a making of documentary. So it's feature length, going into every aspect. And it was actually as fascinating to me to watch that as it was to actually watch the film. So Alston, that's all in HD, brand new, recorded for this release. So that's where your money's going, is they're producing new actual features for it. So there's other features like interviews with the director, interview with Billy Blanks, a featurette on the fights that's another 47 minutes long, just how they did the choreography and everything, the anatomy of a scene, which is a seven minute feature, and then there's a photo gallery, original trailer, and then there's also a poster that comes inside of it, and a slip cover. So you get a fair bit for that. And think about this, that $30 or so that you spend on this, that's going to incentivize MVD to go, and when they release more titles, to make sure that they produce brand new documentary features. Because think about this, there are other movies out there like Heart of Darkness and that, where they're documentaries on a feature film, but then they end up getting released separately and you have to buy them separately. So you're getting, you know, multiple hours of features that are actually interesting, and not just fluff pieces that were produced when the film initially came out. These are, you know, looking at it 25 years later and going back and seeing the film. And it's pretty cool when they talk about all the things that went into making it or all the issues they had. They even talk about people that say were maybe a little too drunk on set often and they had to work around them, that sort of thing. It's the stuff, the nitty-gritty things that you don't normally hear that are really fun to watch and listen to. So, you know, it's going to go into my collection along with the other films that they have sent. And I would say it's, if you're a fan of action movies and a fan of Kung Fu, it's a must buy. Because I hope that more and more of these 90s semi-obscure theatrical released Kung Fu films come out in a newer format, because a lot of them have been languishing on VHS for years. So that's Showdown from MVD. Arrow Films sent over their newest Kung Fu action collection, which is the Sister Street Fighter collection on Blu-ray. Now, Sister Street Fighter started as a spinoff of the Sonny Chiba Street Fighter series, which I'm pretty familiar with in the past. It was one of the actually the first DVDs I picked up back when I think it was Front Row Features or whomever put it out back in the bargain bins of like around 99, 2000 when you could get it for $3 or $4. And it looked just as bad, if not worse, than the VHS copy you could have bought at the time. Now, years have gone by and these films have gone through restorations, and I had heard of the Sister Street Fighter series but never watched it before, so this was my first chance to sit down and watch it. So you get two discs, two Blu-ray 50 gig discs, you know, they packed it completely full, popped it into my PC to watch on with my Blu-ray player, and you know, they cram it full of data. Like, as far as the picture quality, it's pretty top notch. It's all been restored, I'm assuming, from the original Japanese negative. They're in the, you know, extra wide 2.35 aspect ratio, so real cinematic. There's been no cropping involved or anything like that. You get the original audio mono tracks, which is all they would have been released in Japanese with subtitles. The first film does have a dub in English because it had a theatrical release that was dubbed here. So you do get that. The rest of the films are just in Japanese with the subtitles, but you get the gist of everything as you're watching it. You don't have to worry about it not you're not understanding what's going on. And they're just good examples of the some of the early women-led Kung Fu films, and that, you know, prior to this in the 70s, you know, it was pretty much a man's world for the action film. So this is actually sort of predating a lot of what came in the 80s and 90s, where women actually were more and more predominantly in lead roles in action films. So, you know, kudos to them that they went ahead with this way back when they did. It is a little funny, like the films hold up, like they're not as super ridiculous as a lot of like the Shaw Brothers films would have been, because these are Japanese and not like Hong Kong films. So they're a little more rooted in reality, and they also include some of the best sound effects, like the best attack effects and chops and everything. You can tell that the Foley artists were having fun making it, so it is pretty funny that that's the only part that sounds dated, is that every single chop or attack has the exact same sound effect. But that makes it fun. It's actually a fun series to watch and sort of consume with friends, especially if you're having a, you know, a couple beers or something, and you want to, you know, count how many times you hear the same karate chop sound. That being said, what else do you get with the series, and is it worth picking up? It retails about $40 or so, which a lot of these Arrow remastered editions do, especially since you're getting four films on two discs. It is worth it considering they're all remastered. Now, other stuff that you get with this, I said that you get the English track on the first film, and then you get subtitles, newly translated subtitles on it, as well as the rest. You have new interviews with Sonny Chiba, the director, as well as screenwriter. You get original Japanese theatrical trailers for all of them. You get the original theatrical trailer for the first Sister Street Fighter, plus the English opening titles, so you can watch how it was open in theaters here. And then you get, you know, stills and poster gallery, pretty standard stuff there. Now, you do get a reversible sleeve with original artwork and new artwork that was commissioned for it, which is something that they do with a lot of their releases, which is pretty awesome. So you can have either the original poster art, which is kind of cool, or if you like, you can have this brand new, beautifully drawn stuff. They've done it for a lot of films. Like when I got a copy of The Reanimator, it had a beautifully done new cover, which you could flip, you know, obviously on your own. And that's something that really takes advantage of it, especially if you're getting a premium product like this, if you're paying $35-$40 or so for it. It definitely is something that is appreciated. Now, if you're getting the first pressing of this, you also get an illustrated booklet with writing on the series and sort of just just a little something extra. Now, I don't know how long that will be available, but, you know, as long as the first printing and pressing is available to pick up on, like, Amazon or directly through Arrow Films, then you'll be able to get that in there. If not, then it's not a huge, huge deal. It's just a little something extra as an incentive for you to buy it now. So I'm going to say it's worth picking up. If you're not a big Kung Fu fan or not a you know, Japanese history buff, it may be something you want to, you know, watch the first one, maybe rent it, watch a couple trailers on YouTube, and, you know, go from there. For somebody like myself who's a big Kung Fu film fan, this is definitely one that I'm going to keep in my collection for some time. The Big C was a show that I remember coming out, but not actually watching because I didn't have the Showtime network at the time. And I figured I'll go back and check it out eventually. It's part of that whole half hour dramedy that they're sort of known for. And, you know, The Big C, obviously, it's about cancer. A woman gets Laura Linney gets a cancer notification, and it sort of makes her reevaluate her life. And then sort of goes to sort of the extremes, things that you wouldn't normally do. She decides to do things the way she always wanted to do things, and it sort of follows her and how it affects her family and things around her, you know, for being funny, dramatic, and just very, very mature. Now, it ran for 4 seasons. The first couple seasons had 13 episodes apiece. The third season had 10, and then it came back for a final season of 4 episodes. Now, the first 3 seasons were half hours, but like 28 minutes or so, which is kind of standard for premium cable where there's no commercials. They can be a little longer. And the last season was 1 hour episodes. So it's I guess, technically 8 episodes if you counted it sort of like they did in the first part. It ends up being a total of about, 40 episodes? Yeah, about 40 or so. And I would say it's not going to be for everybody. That's for sure, but it's because it deals with, you know, it's has some funny moments, but it deals with heavy subject matter, so it's not going to be for everybody. It is a very well-made show. I like all the cast. As far as visual quality is concerned, it looks better than, you know, it would have looked broadcast on TV, and it's not something that had a Blu-ray release previously. It's had plenty of DVD releases. Now, what do you get with this? It's fairly bare bones. There's nothing else except the episodes, really, but you get them spread over 6 discs, which is plenty of room, you know, to breathe as far as quality is concerned. You have DTS HD Master Audio Surround, which is good. It runs about just under 21 hours to watch everything, which was perfect for me when I was feeling ill and I was going through my binge phase of, oh God, I'm coughing and dying and I just want to watch TV and do nothing else. So it's been out since, I believe, the 16th of April, so it's something you're going to want to check out. It runs about $55 or so on the Canadian Amazon site, so your mileage will vary as far as pricing goes, depending on where you're getting it from. It's worth it, considering you do get the complete series, which is 4 seasons for that price. I'm sort of a bit of a stickler for the price per episode method. I always like, I like not having to pay more than $1 per episode, if I can, on DVD. And no more than $2 per episode on Blu-ray, if I can. You know, if it's a show that I absolutely must own, I'll pay, you know, more than that. But I'm always the guy that's super happy when Mill Creek or somebody puts out a set. Like, I think I paid $90 for the Quantum Leap Blu-ray box set, and that was less than $1 per episode. So I was like, that's a score. So this is in that similar boat where it's, you know, a little over $1 or so per episode in Canadian money. And that's, you know, right, well worth it, the price point for me. I think it's a show that I'm going to now lend to my mom to watch because she'll probably get really hooked on it and want to watch it all at once. So it's going to be a worthwhile buy if you're a fan of Laura Linney or some of the other actors that are in it. If you're not a fan of, you know, dealing with the whole cancer thing at all, you're going to want to avoid it. But you probably would know that anyway just from the title. That being said, I'm rambling now, so I'd say go pick it up. If you don't, you know, unsure, check out YouTube. There's going to be clips on YouTube of scenes from the show. Try to pick out like a trailer for it to watch that way and see if you're going to like it, because it's something that I know that our fellow co-host Birdman wouldn't be into, but his wife Blair would be, and I'm sort of into everything. So for me, this is a no-brainer. I liked it a lot.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
going to do something a little bit different here for a quick review. I'm going to be reviewing a book. That is Teen Movie Hell by Mike McBeardo McPadden. Now, what is Teen Movie Hell? Well, it is a book that chronicles all of the teen movies, way from way back to yesteryear. And, you know, it's about 350, 360 pages or so, where you remember those guides from like Leonard Maltin back in the day, you know, so many movies you got to see, and it would give a brief description and then, you know, tell you, you know, what was good about it, what you should see, that sort of thing. Well, you basically get that here, and they're all like teen movies that you not necessarily would expect. And they're fairly in-depth, and it gives a bit of background on the creation of some of them. So you got, like, just an example, you got Fast Times. It shows you posters and stuff from other films that, had different titles. Party Nerds, American Graffiti, gives a bit of the history on each one. And then, you know, it's alphabetical. So you've got Animal House, Bachelor Party. And it's sort of a guide that somebody like myself would love that just goes through all of them. So some of these are going to have major releases on video or you've heard of. And some are, you know, fell to the wayside that maybe VHS or beta cassette obscurity. So you got Beach House, Beach Party. And then I'm just going to skim through a little bit here to give you some titles that are in here. It's very detailed, and it's been a very good read. It took me a while to review this. I've had this for a few weeks now, as I received a digital copy to review. And it's taken me a while to go through everything because I've wanted to read every little detail, especially for films that I've seen and films that I haven't ever heard of. You got Cheerleader Camp, also known as Bloody Pom Poms. So it's going to be sort of sitting, you know, digitally on my device for quite some time. If I wanted to look up something obscure or if I see a weird movie trailer or something, I'd be like, what is that? And I want to go check it out. It's cram-packed with tons of details and also funny anecdotes. And then just basically this is, if you want like Revenge of the Nerds, that sort of thing, if you want a teen movie from the last 45, 50 years, it's listed in here and has details on it. So I'm going to say give that a check out. Pick it up on Amazon or something. I'm actually going to go right now and pull up and see what it's going for. Because, kudos to Mike for putting as much detail and time and effort into making this as possible. Like, I didn't think something like this could be, could be done, you know, in today's day and age with the internet. Like, this is more detailed than any website I've been to. About these films. So it runs in Canadian about $36 or so for the paperback. It came out on April 16th. Now it is a heavy duty book. It's almost 2 pounds. Like, so there's a lot of pages here and it's a decent sized book. So is it worth it? If you are a big movie nerd, if you're a fan of, basically a fan of watching stuff like the Nostalgia Critic and a lot of internet reviewers talk about a lot of these B movies and C movies and Z movies. This is sort of a Bible for that, where it's going to cover every teen movie that you could possibly imagine till your teen movie to death. So that's Teen Movie Hell, a crucible of coming of age comedies from Animal House to Zapped, written by Mike McPadden. I have a bit of a two for one here. I have two films from VVS Films that were sent to me on Blu-ray. We've got The Con Is On and Dragged Across Concrete. Now, The Con Is On, I believe, is already out, and Dragged Across Concrete is releasing soon, depending on when I have this recorded and have it released. So I'm not going to give an exact date, but The Con Is On, I watched first. I did a double feature watching in the afternoon, and it has Uma Thurman, Tim Roth, Alice Eve, Sofia Vergara, and Maggie Q in it, amongst others. I'll give you a bit of the background on it. It's the basic premise is, in an effort to avoid paying off a massive gambling debt to a notorious mobster in England, two con artists flee to Los Angeles, where they hatch a convoluted plot to steal jewels. It's one of those, it has a bit of a James Bondy sort of theme song intro. It's very weird. Like, I'll give you an idea. It has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, which anything that has a 0%, I have to check out, because this is not a 0% movie. This is not a terrible movie at all. It has tone issues. It sometimes feel like the music, sometimes the music and sometimes the tone of the film feels cheaper than what the film is. And the cinematography is really good. The actors are all really good. The dialogue is generally decent. It just somehow doesn't all fit together perfect and makes for a weird, quirky ride that I actually really enjoy. You also have, like, to give you an example of some of the other actors in this, you got Crispin Glover, Parker Posey, and you have Stephen Fry as a very unique individual, which is, it's odd to say the least. I don't want to spoil anything. Tim Roth is fantastic, and surprisingly, Uma Thurman pulls off the accent well. She's not known in my books for being good at doing accents, so she does a British accent, and it's actually pretty good. So it's basically people double-crossing people and left, right, and center, seeing things. You have to watch things that are happening in the background to see what's actually going on, and it's a pretty fun affair, if forgettable in the long run. It's going to be one that I think is worth watching. I don't know if it's worth picking up. If you're picking it up based on the star power alone, or if you're a big collector fan of any of these people, it's worth picking up because it's not that expensive to buy. But it may be one where, you know, if you were on the fence, it may be something you want to do as a rental first, you know, paid digital rental. Because, like I said, it's got a 0% for a reason. It's not as bad as nearly as bad. I would give this, if I was, we don't usually do ratings like this, but I would give it a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10, because it's such a high budget looking film to have a low budget tone and feel, which is weird. So, you know, especially since this is getting a Blu-ray release, you know, in 2019, and the film has a copyright at the end of 2017. So I imagine it was sort of held off. It was probably going to get a major release and then didn't. That being said, still enjoyed it. So thanks to VVS Films for that. Now, Dragged Across Concrete is the one that I actually had my eye on before. I saw movie trailers for this, and it was going to get a limited release, but it didn't come to my area. You know, it didn't come to Kitchener-Waterloo. So it's a movie with Mel Gibson, Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Carpenter, and Don Johnson. And it's basically the police partners, Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, descend into a criminal underworld after they are suspended for assaulting a suspect on video. And it's sort of the buddy cop, gritty action movie. It's a little longer than that. Like, it's about 150 minutes long or so, which is pretty long. But it's a good thriller. It's not... It's better than The Con Is On, as far as it goes. Like, and if you're a fan of them, I always like Mel Gibson movies. Regardless of what you think of him personally, he's always done really good movies. So, and Vince Vaughn, it's nice to see him doing something again. So, as far as, you know, bonus features, there's a couple little things here, but nothing really too big to write home about. Same with The Con Is On. Now, for both of these films, you have surround soundtracks, and they're in the widescreen, the proper aspect ratio for it. As a note for The Con Is On, you're going to have language and swearing and sort of stuff, some sexual conduct, but it's rated 14A in Canada, which is equivalent to, I guess, a PG-13, sometimes an R in the States, depending. It sort of skirts between them. And we have an 18A rating on the Dragged Across Concrete, which is for brutal violence, gory scenes, coarse language, and sexual conduct, which, yes, all of those. That's the equivalent. An 18A here is the equivalent of an R in the States, for the most part. Occasionally, some of our 18A stuff gets away with almost NC-17 level stuff, but that's not the case here. So I would say between the two of them, Dragged Across Concrete is a better movie, and it would be one that I would say pick up, you know, blindly. Yeah, pick it up. You'll probably enjoy it. And if you're into, you know, if you're into looking at the bottom of the barrel lists on Rotten Tomatoes, The Con Is On is one to pick up. Or if you're a fan of the people in there, like, I'm going to probably pass these over to my family to watch. And, you know, they'll let me know what they think of it. I ended up enjoying both of them, but as far as being a better film, I would say go with Dragged Across Concrete. So both of these are available, or should be available right about now, from VVS Films. And that's just about going to do it for the show this week. What do we have coming up next? Well, like I said earlier in the show, we've got a Twig coming up in the next few days. I'll have my review of Trails of Cold Steel 1 Remastered in there. And I only say that because there's Decisive and then there's Definitive and whatever, because they have different titles for Cold Steel 1 and 2. So it's the remastered Cold Steel 1 that's going to be in there. I believe Birdman has a review or two going in there. And I think Mr. Christopher's got Sekiro or something going in there. Not 100% sure yet. We'll know in the next couple days or so. Now, what have I been working on since then? I have been scared, terrified, goosebumps all over. I've been playing Days Gone. Sony sent over a copy for me to play, and that, I believe, comes out on the 26th or so. Reviews for that, I believe it's embargo, meaning it can't come out till after that date. So it'll be probably next week's show that we'll have the review for it. I can't say much about the game except that, you know, my experience has been, you know me, I love horror movies that aren't jump scary. I am a scaredy cat when it comes to gaming. When it comes to like back in the day when there was the Resident Evil 1 came out, I was at a friend's house whose older brother is like 5 or 6 years older, was playing it. He's playing it, and when the dogs jumped through the window at the beginning of the game, I got so scared, I screamed, jumped up, turned off his game, and sat back down. And to the horror of them, like, they were so mad, but then also laughed because I got so scared that they had never seen me move that fast. As like a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, I just jumped up, and then just jumped and pressed the power button and was right back down to sitting down shivering. So that gives you an idea. I'm a big fraidy cat. So I'm playing this game, and like, my roommate walks by and he goes, "What are you playing?" And I'm like, "Scary game about zombies." And he, "Oh, okay." And then, like, every 2 seconds, me going, or jumping, or having to play with the volume down low. So it's actually perfect because I'm going to be a different kind of player than what you'd expect. Like, Birdman would play it and be like, he would critique it in a different way than I would as somebody who's normally not into scary games. I have been enthralled in playing it. I'm just terrified of playing it at the same time. So my review will come out fully on that in the next week or so when the embargo lifts and I've completed everything. So that's what's coming up for me. I know there's going to be more stuff coming in the mail soon. My 2DS XL had been sent out for repair when it basically spontaneously combusted. The screen had broken, but not due to pressure. It just blah. It just exploded on the inside for no reason. No pressure was added to it. I had contacted Nintendo in October, and they said, "Oh, sure, your press system can be sent out for repair." I said, "Okay." Sent it out to them, and there was a delay due to the Christmas and different things, and it didn't come back to me till like 3 days ago. So it finally came to me, and it looks like it's in pristine working condition, so I'm charging it up now, and that means we'll probably get back to doing some 3DS reviews if there's still games coming out for it. So I'm happy about that, and that's pretty much it with me, and I guess I will talk to you guys next time.
Well, that's our show.
All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info on the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.